chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, as we continue to speak of the servant of the Lord. So as we grow in Christ, I pray that we are swelling with a heart of service. The more you serve God, the more you have to depend on the Master. The idea is that if you do take divine help, we consistently need divine help. So what do? We need divine help to do the supernatural, which is doing the work of the Lord. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be in God's presence. It's important. We can't serve God without the particular element. And if you serve God and you pray to Him and you depend on Him, what's going to happen with your relationship? Your relationship with God will solidify more and more and more. You will draw closer and closer to God because you become on a daily basis and you become a servant for Jesus, that you need Him. You need Him. That is being in God's presence. Abba, I need you. We can't do this without you. We can't do divine work in the flesh because God says that in the flesh, we turn to God. In people, what we do must be done in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you to help us through Isaiah chapter 6 and see this servant of the Lord. Help us to identify with how he sees servanthood and how God sees servanthood so that we would be able to and willing to be this. I have, in my born again days, I've been through a lot of different, you know, churches and preaching. And I've seen a lot of quote unquote service. It wasn't always in the assemblies. We went to Assemblies of God, we went to a Baptist church, we went to a Nazarene church, that was great. And for Nazarene church, we also went to Calvary Chapel for a while, and then we went to church, and eventually to Assemblies 15, 16 years ago. I have seen a lot of people in service of the Lord. I've seen many different reasons why people serve. Some of it was nepotism. You know, father and son business type thing. And father did this and the son did that. And we did this with the other. And he was the pastor, and then he was here, he died, and still he was pastor, and he was nepotism. Where they fought and did. We see that the law of availability, that's always the danger wherever you are. We don't care if it's after this, suddenly to God, suddenly, it doesn't matter. The law of availability. You pick somebody to do something simply because they're available. Or they're enough, perhaps, in a variety of different subjects, and clearly this leading without knowing who these people are. I've seen some places where the people who run the people that give the most money in the church or in the assembly as well. And I've seen even unbelievers doing work because they were just available. So, you know, hosting or hospitality thing or
Even take the hope. People didn't take the knowledge. There's all kinds of reasons that people serve. But does that really please God? When we're serving, we're not just serving our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not serving the denomination. When we serve, the whole thing is that Jesus Christ remains his servant, so every time they serve, I serve him. Whether it's a regular or in the church, I serve Jesus. This is what we want. We want to be in that place where we understand that whatever we do not the Lord. We do it glory, and we do it out to the Lord. He is master. He's our master and Lord. So what are several elements that anybody that is about to serve the Lord in any capacity, it doesn't matter what you are doing. You can be the person in charge of the music, you can be playing the piano, you can be, you know, setting for the books and the views, you can be cleaning the chapel and the bathroom. Think about what you said. You do it for the Lord. It means that you have a divine purpose. You are serving a king. You are serving the one who lives the purpose for you. You are serving the Son of God who sits on the right hand of God in room in heaven. That's what you do for him, what you do for Jesus. What's me? So there are certain things that we need to understand right away. Things first, we're serving the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, it reads like this: in the year that King Uzziah died, most people believe that these particular words are here for historical content, so that we can understand the timeline of the beginning of the ministry of Isaiah. That I disagree about. If it can be, but I disagree about. The reason King Uzziah is here, and it says, in the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord. There's something significant in that. There's been a man who was studying Uzziah in one of the Bible studies in Wednesday night. He did all kinds of awesome things for God. God left him in prayer. He accomplished the life of faith, brethren, kindness, the faith, unity. I mean, all kinds of things that he good things with you. And Uzziah definitely started through you. But he ended the way. He ended with arrogance and infirmity. And then, volunteered himself to do that which God had given somebody else to do. It wasn't a lot. He wasn't determined to do these things. You know, for the Lord and the priests were allowed to do burning incense and things of that nature. All the priests were there to stop him. And he was wrong the word of God because he was banging. He started out a good king. And he died and never left her. Because he forgot some basic elements that every servant should understand. Number one, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with your glory." The first thing that Isaiah needed to see before his ministry as a prophet of God was that the first thing is holy, holy, holy. He needed to be in the presence of the holiness of God. You do not have to be Isaiah to understand this person. If you are going to serve God in any capacity, you need to understand who you're doing it for. You need to accept, understand, believe, and cherish, and be reverent to the holiness of God. Is holy. We hear on the news almost anyone, some known preacher or evangelist or apologist or whatever, whose ministry was blessed incredibly of the Lord, all on their faces because they prevented this from them. But he's holy. He serves the be holy. That's important to serve God. Without this absolute understanding and recognition of the holiness of God, and those that serve God must be holy, a ministry will fall. Amen? Because apart from the holiness of God, you're doing it for something or someone else. Important to understand. Six wings. Four wings were for reverence. Face and feet in the presence of God. These are symbols of reverence to the holiness of God. And we do. We do. Support that before anything, reverence to the holiness of God. But the servant must come. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, what is me? I am undone, because I am not a clean living. And I am in the midst of people who come in the midst from I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We, when we are faced, when we bring the presence of God, and we are faced with the holiness of God, there is a certain level of humility that takes place. I understand before the Holy God, I clearly see that there are because I know me. And I know that I need to serve the Lord. We read it today. I'm asking God to forgive me before I move on to this pulpit. Why? Because God is holy. Because God is here, must be holy. Important. If we're going to serve God in a way that brings us to the important. Then comes this humility. The servant God humbles himself or herself before the Lord, acknowledging who you are before him, and serving to us is not a dreamy situation, it is really. To stand before the Lord and the King of Kings and the Holy, Holy, Holy God and serve him, it's a very humbly experience. Mark reported in the book of Mark, his mouth expressed certain things. Mark portrays Jesus Christ as the condition of that person where I'm challenging you. Jesus Christ was a servant. He was holy. He was holy. God manifested in the flesh, humble and he laid aside all the authority and everything that belonged to him. He laid aside the glory for him to
But he became a man. He who knew no sin became sin. That's the humility. If he humbled himself, Jesus humbled himself, this should be an issue for sermon. That should be understood as you're going into service. Jesus made it very clear. If you are going to follow me, you must count the cost. John said, I need this decrease so that he may
gain. That's my point.
Every ministry you take will begin to be divinely beautiful. You want to know what?
Because you're done here. And Jesus appeared.
I'm with you. Christmas child, whether it's, you know, making the show, whether it's getting out of the truck, whether it's being out there on the Halloween situation, and it's important.
And recognize that he is holy. And humble yourself. It's a very holy situation that I will be used as an instrument in the hand of holy, holy, holy. Look at what Jesus did in John chapter 13. John chapter 13.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was at hand, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own. That had to be in there. Having loved his own who were in the room, he loved them to the end. And so being ended, the devil coming already, having already into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things in his hand, and he had come from God and was going to God, and rose up from sorrow. Listen to all these things that he's doing. The devil having his minion somewhere leading him. He knew that his destination, his final destination, was very close. He knew he was living, he was leaving this world. He knew what his disciples were going to be from that being him. All that was going on in his mind. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things to an end and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose up from supper and laid his garment. Humility is just beginning for Jesus. He was going to humble himself all the way to come. So that you and I know that we're only going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes that comes with great sacrifice. Without humility and sacrifice, this is me, very close. This is Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Without humility, sacrifice is impossible. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 12, it says, be conformed to the image of this world. It says you need to be a living. That does not come without humility. Jesus humbled himself, laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. You guys know what's going on. You guys know what it's taking. The lowest and lowly servant, and that's what you need. To wash the feet of the people. He poured out water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you will wash my feet? Jesus said to him, for they have known you did not understand.
Peter said, you shall never pass through the gate. You want to know the problem? Look at what Jesus did. If I can't watch you, you have no problem. Jesus Christ humbled himself, laid down the burden, started with his feet. Why? Because those disciples, those who were Mark, were also marked on the service of their lives. We needed to be humble. We need to watch those feet because the feet where you're standing is going to be ruined. We don't wash your feet, you have it. We can't have it. Understand? Peter really didn't get it. In that case, it's still a thing. It's a toe. And then even if the baby is only his feet, but it's completely clean, you don't think of knowing. You want to serve Christ, you need to acknowledge that he is only holy. You want to be set apart. Holiness is a task. Humility is absolutely needful for service. Without it, your service will suffer. You cannot sacrifice yourself, your time, your money, your home, your car, whatever it is. You cannot do any of those things. You can't. Because you must be a humble servant in the hands. You can be great things. It's when we start getting into the books. Let me do this and do that. Somebody, it has to be done. Somebody else can do it. Let me do it. Should I look at it? That's very good. That's incredible. Humility. Woe is me. This recognition that you are holy and you are sinned today by grace has to remain the portion of your mind. You can never all give God no matter what you do. You can never all give God. I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how much money you get. Things you do, you can never forgive God. And you need to recognize that what we do is with his power anyway. It's still a gift from him to these things. Humility is absolutely important. Then when you start with the human being, having his hand, having his hand, which he had taken to the Father, not the. You know what? Because it was always a sacrifice. Then always had to be in the sight of God. When do you start the experience? When do you turn your opinion to the Lord? When have you given too much, done too much, sacrificed too much, sweated too much, that you can go to the altar's foot, as it were, and just, I'm going to. It's a sad day to serve. I mean, you've been part-time sacrifices. It's an option for the child of God. I'm not bagging anybody as far as what they are telling you that as insignificant, don't ever think your ministry is. Don't ever think that, you know, the menial that maybe you do. There's not considered precious in his eyes that you are doing for a holy, holy God with the humble and the sacrifice of God. He's not as if and then you must be able to motivate your own. I can't do any righteousness.
So you acknowledge the problems with them, you acknowledge that there's sin, and you call out the sin, you go to Jesus. And he will cleanse you of all your sin. He will forgive you all your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Isaiah understood. He needed that.
Your iniquity.
Can you imagine the difference in the world? That
when you know that Jesus came to forgive your sin,
he says he forgave you.
It's a dinner.
He said it is finished. And your sin, it was mentioned today, the people that's used you, that are really
I thought the people were going to give, and then, you know, they
don't know what to say here. It said, and your sin, it's not just taken away, and you appreciate that it's machine. It's like it's, it was squeezed right out of you. Can't get back. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Verse 8. The servant of God not only must understand the holiness of God, the servant of God must not only understand that he must or she must be humble, that they need the righteousness and the forgiveness of God, and there's a steady flow of confession between you and God. There needs to be that forgiveness of sin consistently on a consistent basis. As you filter yourself with your own flesh and the things of this world, there needs to be that constant forgiveness. There also must be a warning. God says this all the time. Through the elders, through deacons, through ministry, through brothers and sisters in Christ, whom shall I send? You need to be very careful who you send. You need to be very careful who you send. You can't just send anybody. So far, he needs to acknowledge the holiness of God, needs to be humble, needs to be clean, needs to lead a confessing life before the Lord, and needs to be listening. Look at the words in verse 8. Also, I heard the voice. You have got, a servant of God has got to be in the Word. You have got to be studying the Scriptures. Not this verse a day keeps the devil away from you. I'm talking about you need to be in the Scriptures. You need to be listening for the almighty voice of God. You need to be hearing from Him daily. Why? Because you're being, when you're in the Word of God, you are being in His presence. Nothing makes me pray more than because the more I read it, the more ugliness I see it. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me. And why did you? And you look at the Word of God, and it just constantly reminds you how loving and kind and merciful and grateful and just. He's a jealous God. You gotta be listening. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who am I? And who will us? I've heard somebody say that it was a Trinitarian person. Don't you want to take that away from that? You know, really? You know, who will go over the community? It wasn't the demons, right? You know, and who will go over us? And who will go over you? Representing him to his people and to must be willing. You must be willing to do that. Then he said, here I am, instead of me. I would say, be careful. Be careful what you do. Be ready for what you get. You don't pick your ministry. No. And maybe I think kitchen. He's talking about people, about him. And because Israel is people, people. And God's chosen.
If you read the book of Isaiah, you know that he was the bearer of the family and one people.
What the news?
Not bad news. I'm sure that he wasn't the man.
He wasn't the man. He kind of goes, maybe, you know, you don't think that he knew that to say in Hebrews, but let me say that the one that was promised something was, you know, the Isaiah. What do you mean, send me? You mean get coming? I got this.
Because a servant of the Lord, I've been doing this for a long time. A servant of the Lord always needs to be told. The world and the more you serve God, the more the devil comes with you with bigger temptations, more clever tricks. The world will try to win the Lord. Over where I used to be an absolute nobody, insignificant, all of a sudden the world is competing with Richie. Why? Because Richie is the sharpest tool in the shed, not even close. Big time, because this way the brand is bald. It's not even close. But because of the world of Jesus, the enemy. There's the Holy Spirit. That there's a breach in Galatians 5:17. The spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the spirit. And these two are contrary to one another, so that you may not do the good. It comes to be working evil. So the servant of God will consistently have the battle, the flesh, the world. And he said, go and tell this people. This is what I want you to do out there. Give me a people. They kindly volunteer. Keep on hearing. Go tell this people and they keep on hearing, but you don't understand it. You keep on seeing, but you do not see. Then a group of people go and their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, but they hear with their ears, and they stand with their heart, and they stand with their heart being healed. Sometimes you have to be the bearer of bad news. Somebody, you can be called a Christian, but that is a little bit fit in the word of God. I think I'll give glory to God. The other thing that the servant must do is he must be serving God. Is all great when your name is on some ministry poster somewhere. Serving God is great when people say, oh, you know, I need this guy. They're real servants and they saw you and they said that they tried to hear God. You must be loyal to your God. There's going to come a time in your ministry, in your service, that you will be attacked by the people you love. Even brothers and sisters in Christ will judge you for the service that you have committed to. You must continue. You must persevere. No matter what. And then the Lord came. And he answered. Until the cities are released. Not exactly. Okay. You signed up to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Are you
is just, I don't care that I'm big and sloppy, and my sins were taken away from my relationship with God. He was revealing things to me, and my life was literally changing every corner around every ounce of it. I was just on this spiritual path that I didn't even doubt to start to take me down. And then came the tribulation. It was a fork in the road. I couldn't have lived with God. I couldn't have prayed from God. And I praise God. His Holy Spirit chose the name of Jesus. Many servants will do that. Listen, what you got to do with me in camp ministry? What is going to help me extend it to the whole? You want to talk about going through trials and tribulations? You want to talk about being torn in two? Camp ministry, all of it. Bundled up in, not everybody can do it. Some people do it, and they never return. It's a tough place to serve. It's a tough place to serve. It's a tough place to serve in those churches. I don't know. And in my mind, and I wasn't learning. No matter what, I had to persevere with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had to keep serving the Lord. I am doing this not for the director of him, not for the board of directors. I am doing this for Jesus Christ. I am in his hand to proclaim the gospel to God's denying children who will hear the word of God, hopefully one day that day, hopefully give their hearts to the gospel, and go to the church, that he is doing it for Jesus. I am doing it for Jesus. And by the grace of God, if you have him there, there will be one day. And you will be the king of the kingdom. And I'll be the king of the kingdom. That's all I'm going to tell you. Sure, let's say it. It's not close. Thank you for giving your time and being a servant of Jesus. No matter what you do, you will be false unto you. That's great. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege of service. We see it wrong sometimes, Lord. I confess, Lord, there's so many times, Lord God, the only reason for burning is because we forget who we're doing it for. Oh, Lord, to be a pouring drink offering for your glory, to be a first to be expended until you just have no more strength to even think what it means to be empowered in the Holy Spirit once your flesh can't do it anymore. We want to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this way. Teach us, Lord, your holiness. Help us, Lord, how to recognize and revere it. Help us to be humble. Help us to be right with you. Help us to be listening. Help us to be willing and to be loyal, obedient, no longer. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.